Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yes.
It's Ronkonkoma. It should be Lake Ronkonkoma. That's in Suffolk County.
Yes.
Near where the North Fork and South Fork of Long Island split. Newsday used to have an office there in Lake Ronkonkoma.
Ronkonkoma. Yeah. Officials are offering a reward for information leading to the person or people responsible for dumping 27 rabbits by a Suffolk County train station.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, they said that they were notified.
They Glenn Close?
You made me do it! Damn it!
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Welcome to Washington, D.C., where for a change it's raining. It's impossible. We're at Chatter, which is open for breakfast when we do these shows. And people are here. Thank you very much for being here.
Watch yourself. Hello.
We're at the corner of Jennifer Streets and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest in Friendship Heights. And we have been trying for weeks to put in flowers and grasses and things to improve the outdoor look of the restaurant.
Just to reiterate.
And it rains.
Literally weeks.
Yes. And the forecast is for rain all the time, and the workers cannot get this done. The forecast is for rain in part, if not all day, for the next 4 days. We just went through the worst April I can remember in the 40 years that I've lived here, and then the worst May.
10th wettest May, or top just, 10 wettest May.
It's just awful. It's I think it's this way throughout much of the East, certainly in the Southeast. But it's lousy, and it's raining again today, and it is depressing. Yeah. It's depressing, and I don't want it to be 95 and sunny, which
and
I know it's going to be.
Oddly enough, we've been above average in temps
in temperature.
As well.
Temperature.
Which is the worst combo.
It's a bad deal. Let us go right to sports. Let us go right to the Capitals. Steve Sands can breathe. Everybody can breathe. Braden Holtby makes the save of his life. The Capitals are up 3-2. They've incurred two penalties. They're in more than a minute, right? More than a minute of 5-on-3. Yeah.
Minute nine.
More than a minute of 5-on-3. There is a particular play where Braden Holtby reaches out to his right, completely stretching, has a glove and a stick out there. The puck seems to me to hit the stick, is covered up immediately with the glove and held on. That is going to be the tying goal. You believe, Gary, and you believe, Chris, that it's over if they score that goal.
I do.
If Vegas scores.
Anything can happen in overtime if you get there. But the way that building is, when it's loud and those fans are into it, it's a tough place to play. That team is relentless. They just keep coming at you. And I think, yeah.
Does this not remind you completely of the Capitals late in games they were losing against Tampa? Mm-hmm. Like putting 97
very much,
shots on
very
net?
Much. And it actually, two things came to mind immediately. First of all, I think if that goes in, I've been a Caps fan all my life, so I'm used to being beaten around a little bit.
Right.
But I think it's game over and then, of course, series over. And then I also thought about how in the prior game, the Caps had the opportunity
had
to tie it up in front of an empty net. And my boy,
right.
Lars Eller,
yep.
Who had a great game last night.
That's right. Although he's one of the two people, and Tom Wilson,
he's a goon,
who incurred penalties,
yes,
who put them in this precarious
penalties.
Circumstance
indeed.
Of a 5-on-3.
Watching that, it from the buildup where it was a ridiculous bounce off the boards. It bounces. They shoot it in. It bounces basically directly across.
They're attempting to shoot it
behind the net.
Right.
It bounces.
Right.
He is clearly surprised.
Out of position.
It goes right to a Golden Knights guy who is sprinting at. He makes the perfect pass. The guy. I mean, it was all set up for that. I know it would have only been a tie and likely sent it to overtime.
Right.
But
that's
that
right.
is such
in a game
dagger
where the,
goal.
In a game where the Capitals. The series so far, the Capitals have had no trouble scoring.
Right.
That's right.
Neither team has had any particular trouble scoring.
No trouble scoring, but trouble actually possessing the puck and setting up any offensive sets.
Very good point.
If you look back to that first period alone, it looked like a JV playing the varsity team from Mighty Ducks 3.
That's right. And yet at the end of the first period, it was 1-1.
Correct.
Yep.
It was 1-1. And you made a point. You had an analogy to another sport.
So let me not get ahead of myself. The Caps would need to win. It's hard to compare a series to a game, but
yet you did.
I thought it was the Malcolm Butler interception.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it saves the game and it saves the series should the Caps have a chance to win the series. But I thought if that goes in, the series is over. Now, maybe the Caps win in overtime, and that could have catapulted them to a series win.
Yeah.
But
there's a couple of things to just touch on. One is that the Capitals, the Washington Capitals, have now gone further than they ever have as a hockey team.
That's true.
Because the only other time they were in the Stanley Cup, they lost meekly and in four straight.
Yep.
And now they've finally won a game, and that is worth noting. The other thing that to me is worth noting, and no one remembers this, but Brian Trotz, genius that he is, in the beginning of the playoffs against Columbus, started Philippe Grubauer.
Grubsy.
Two games. And then yanked him. And that guy's never seen the ice again unless Holtby breaks his leg.
That was the catalyst for all of this.
Well, you have to now consider, maybe that was just circumstantial, maybe that was blind luck, but Holtby has responded in a way that you go, wow, you've got the best goalie now.
And in Brian Barry Trotz's defense,
Holtby
had not been good.
Nobody criticized that decision at the time.
That's right. At this point, had not been. It is not as though he pulled him at the height of his powers.
Grubauer had been excellent.
No, it's all fair. Yeah. But you wonder, was this motivated? Mm-hmm. Who knows how an athlete's mind works?
Yep.
Was this the exact motivation that the entire team seemed to need? Because while Holtby has not been great, he's been good enough.
By the way,
and he pitched two shutouts at the end of the Tampa series, and he was very save is a great save.
And give credit. I know. I feel like we're now over the Ovechkin is, show up.
He has the game-winning goal.
So, I mean, give credit where credit is due there. I know that pass across the crease was amazing, but he also hits a puck that is bouncing on the run and puts it in a teeny
goal space. So, apropos of what you said, Gary, that this was a similar circumstance in the previous game when Vegas whiffed, right?
Yeah. No, when Lars Eller whiffed.
When he missed.
So, turnabout is fair play. So, you have the exact same circumstance, and this is what happened.
And the thing about this game, about this sport, is just that both of these games, you got guys whiffing, looking at empty nets. You got guys hitting posts left and right. I mean, it is so chancy.
Yeah.
You may as well make...
It's not basketball.
Coin tossing an Olympic sport.
It's not basketball.
Which, by the way, the storyline of they can't do it is difficult the past years because it is so chancy.
Well, that's what made it so weird.
It always happened to them.
Because it always happened.
It always happened.
Which is just odd, given that it is a very luck-oriented game, it appears.
So I was here last night. I was in chatter last night prior to the game. No. I got here about 6:15, and I left about 7:15.
6:20.
7:15.
Face paint or no?
No face paint. Okay. But
flag waving.
People talk about how athletes and sports fans themselves are superstitious.
Oh, yes.
And I was told that if people come to this restaurant or any other restaurant, and their team wins, they're likely to come back again for the next game. The next game is Saturday. Ooh. And here's all I'm going to claim. Sergei Kocharov, who is the head of public relations for the Washington Capitals. I believe I've told this story before. I called him up. I said, look, I'm going to make an ask of you, but it's not the hard ask. I'm not going to ask for tickets. No, I'm not going to ask
That's
you.
That's a me move.
I'm not going to ask you for tickets. Yeah. I'm going to ask you for a flag that we can display on the street in front of chatter. And he said, oh, you're going to get that. Well, we did not get that for game one, which they lost. And then yesterday, that flag showed up.
What's the record with the flag flying?
1-0. It was outside.
So they
literally
have 1,000% winning
percentage. It's on the corner. It was on the corner of Jennifer and Wisconsin. It's in the building now. It's going back up on Saturday. They are 1-0 for the first time ever in the Stanley Cup winning a game. Because that flag is at this restaurant, and if they were to win the Stanley Cup, I would apply for status of protected species status by the government for that
historic
flag.
Site.
Historic monument.
It's hard.
For that flag. Who would argue with this? So we thank Sergei. But it's like
Sergei should be thanking us.
Yeah, your effort to get us the flag has been rewarded. For you.
You're welcome,
for you.
Sergei.
Right. We are selfless in this.
Yeah.
We did this.
So
that logic is hard to dispute.
Hard to argue.
Yeah.
Tony,
airtight.
I don't know if you saw any of the you probably did, saw some local news coverage of the scene down around Capitol One last night.
Holy smokes.
Okay. I just want to say, I was thinking about this driving down here. So
did they charge admission last night?
No, free.
It was free last night? Okay.
And for game one as
Concessions
well.
Concessions open.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
They if only had, you had a bar downtown.
Well, yeah. They had north
mistakes
of
we've made. 2019
north expansion. Of 14,000 Capital One Arena for
they
a watching
should,
party.
You should go if it's
red.
Open for free. You should go.
And they may have had that many more in the streets in and around. I mean, the scene down there.
And how
there
many people working
was,
for Channel 4 screaming, "Yeah, we're winning, we're winning." That's what they
I
do
guess
with
my
Channel
point
4.
Is, I was thinking about this driving Shut in this up. Morning. If you told me I had to buy stock in one of the four local franchises,
you buy Caps,
Wizards.
It is a young crowd. I mean, it wouldn't be Skins. I don't know if it would be Wizards or Nets.
Yeah, well, it's a young crowd because they're going down there
because
it's free
it's
to
a
get
Wednesday
in.
Night.
This is true.
Yeah. It's a Wednesday
this
night.
True,
I'm in bed.
But they're going there. And in my house where I have three kids, two of whom haven't watched 5 minutes of hockey all year, they've gotten into this. They're sitting and watching these games. These games are exciting. Hockey games are not always exciting. These two games have been tremendously exciting games.
Yeah, these
and, have and the Caps fun. Are the Caps are on the brink of almost relevancy, I think, locally here.
Wow, Gary,
I think a Stanley Cup victory could make the Caps relevant.
And I think that we're claiming that we have a lot to do with that here.
I think, yeah, absolutely.
You have
20 years of apologizing to do before you can claim anything for this team.
He did the flag. What else do you
mean? He buried the moniker.
I don't want to spoil this very heartwarming Hallmarky story.
Yeah.
Oh. Are we sure that flag is the one that they sent us? Because
yes.
I believe it's the flag that I ordered.
No, that the flag that you ordered is in here. That flag says all caps.
Oh, okay.
Don't go there with me. That flag says all caps, and that is outside on the
Very
corner
good.
For games, and
Very
everybody's
good.
Invited here. It's Saturday. They're not going every other day.
Right.
Correct. They had a day to travel. They had
okay.
a day to travel. So it'll be Saturday.
By the way, Dennis Horgan, my dear friend Dennis Horgan. Dennis upset that tickets are going for $1,000 here.
Are.
He wanted to come down, and he's got to get four because he's got kids. And I said, Dennis.
Cheaper here.
I said, Dennis, this is the Stanley Cup final, and there's limited seating.
They go every
this
20
is
years.
Not like the World Series where there's 50,000
right.
seats available.
Right.
That of course, it's very expensive. The NBA finals are very expensive. There's limited seating. You had to enter. What did you think that you were going to get in for $40?
Well, as of last night here in DC, they're $650-$700 to get in the building. Vegas for Game 5 is $1,000. And I should mention as a PSA and correction to your and Nigel's comments yesterday, I in fact do not yet have a ticket for Game 5. So if anyone wants to help me out, I only need one. Willing to pay, just don't want to go $1,000. Kleck is on his own. I don't care.
Well, when you say willing to pay, don't want to go $1,000. You're $900. What are you willing
like
to pay?
Five.
I would certainly pay $500.
Okay.
Yeah.
I meant $5, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Would I pay $700? I don't know.
I have a lot of people asking me, "Can you get me tickets?"
What are you a ticket?
And I go, "No,
I'm
not making
that
ask."
Yeah, you don't.
I don't know the people there.
Right.
I think it's great that they sent
the
flag.
The flag is fantastic.
I'm not asking for tickets, and not only that, I don't want to go.
Let me say this: I decided
those are late starts.
It's like 8 o'clock at night when it starts. 8:25.
Why?
By the way, if it's in Vegas, it starts at 10.
Yeah.
Because they have to bring out the knights,
pyrotechnics,
and they have to bring out people with violas. And
the
other string instruments. Oh my God! Stop already!
So,
start the game, and then Imagine Dragons, and you know who's going to be at the next game at Game 5? I mean, just
the Killers, maybe.
Why
They're
don't you
Vegas
start
fan.
The game?
So I decided last night while watching Imagine Dragons, because my original plan was go to Vegas. Just I saw people in the streets for that game one, and I said, I just need to be there. I don't need to go in that building. I don't need to see all that mishigas, as Andy Poley would say.
Andy Poley.
But watching last night, I've come 180 degrees on the open. And watching last night, I thought, I have to be in the building for that. And it's worth pointing on SeatGeek, on like our sponsor SeatGeek and other...
Andy Poley.
Other approved aftermarket sites. I was looking at ticket prices because I was thinking, well, maybe I'll just, you know, certainly sometimes after an event starts, the prices go down and you can get in. So tickets that were absent of fees, running like $750 with fees, it's much more than that, but running like $750 yesterday, as soon as the show stopped,
and it was
they
just
went down,
the game.
Right. They went down like a couple hundred dollars. So
if you wait until the second period, it's $20 probably.
They sell them, I think, an hour into the game, and they went down about 50% from what they were asking. But
well, they got to sell the ticket.
But it's literally, you're paying $200 to see the show. Like, if you're willing to go in after the show, you can save a couple $100. But the show, I decided I want to see.
It's so funny that we're so different. That you watch it and you think, I have to be there. I watch it and I think I would never want to go there.
I like people, Chris.
Yeah,
I'm different than you.
Very good point. People like you, which also makes us different.
We're going to take a break. When we return, Jim Miller will be with us. I want to talk. I mean, I may be going one day too long on this, but I want to talk about the cancellation of the Roseanne show. I find this very interesting. There are stories out there that I find very interesting. The Brian Colangelo story and the Roseanne Barr story, I personally find very interesting. So we will have
So you're
going to
hear about them.
Jim Miller, when we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks ad. The point being made here is that if you are a son or daughter, what you should do for Father's Day, which is at the end of this coming month, when is it sneaking up on us rapidly?
Sneaking up, yes.
Is that you should buy your dad Omaha Steaks and all of their products.
Yes.
Because he's going to want to grill them for you. Well, in our house, Michael does almost all of
the
grilling.
That kind of sounds nice if you would grill for me.
I'm happy to do it.
Maybe on Son's Day.
Well, you always tell me I'm terrible at it.
It's because you're focused on the wrong things. You're focused on time, like time per side. You don't test the meat. You don't use the thermometer.
I don't do any of that stuff.
I look at it
and I go, let's go.
You're focused on entertaining.
It's sort of like the hockey.
Representative.
With the strings and the cellos.
High five.
Enough. Let's play the game. Father's Day just around the corner. You're trying to find the perfect gift for Father's Day. Does your dad love to grill but hate the hassle and poor quality at the grocery store? What better way to kick off the grilling season than by gifting an Omaha Steaks Father's Day package to dad? They deliver hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, vacuum-sealed meats directly to your door in an Omaha Steaks cooler. The variety is pork and poultry and veal and lamb and bison and seafood and vegetables. All the highest quality cuts with a one-of-a-kind flavor. All their beef is USDA inspected for quality and aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of the cuts. And it even gives you the option to customize cuts for your dad's grilling needs, find recipes, wine, pairings, etc. Here's what it includes. This is $49.99. That's not an insubstantial number, but here's what you get for that. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all beef burgers, 4 gourmet franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, the seasoning packet, and 4 more grill-ready Omaha steak burgers free with the purchase. It's a limited-time package because it centers on Father's Day. It's $49.99. You need to go. It's a 78% savings on the listed price. So you go to omahasteaks.com, and you type Tony K in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. The offer obviously is going to end right around Father's Day. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony K in the search bar, grab your dad, fire up the grill.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Andy Clark, who says, as a frustrated rock star, I was delighted to discover that a person to whom I'm related to by birth turned out to have actual musical talent as both a singer and a songwriter, far outstripping her dad in each category. Her song, A Dance, has been recognized in several songwriting competitions, and now, thanks to the generous financial contribution of her parents, friends, and relatives, she's released her debut EP of the same name, A Dance, recorded at an actual studio with top-flight professional musicians. As you might imagine, session musicians and studio time do not come cheap. And while my dream is to fully exploit my kid's talent for personal enrichment and a comfortable retirement, I suspect that investing in the musical career of a flighty college student is likely even less propitious than investing in a for-profit, full-service local restaurant. This is really nice. It's Maddie Clark.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful,
it's
beautiful
love
song.
Love it.
It's a beautiful song sent in by her dad, Andy Clark.
And locals so cool. In the area. So it's great to see a DC artist.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. They play in Jim Miller, who does the Brilliant Origins podcast and is distributed by Cadence, who distribute this particular podcast. And maybe I'm going a day too far in this, but I find myself, Jim, fascinated by the swiftness with which the Roseanne show was canceled, given how profitable it was. You have experience in television, long experience in television, and writing about people who move television around. How surprised were you that this show was so swiftly canceled, and why did they do this?
Well, it's pretty extraordinary. Still, a day or two after, when was the last time a number one show on television was canceled for any reason? It's just a total outlier. But I think you used a word, which I think is key to understanding this, which is swift. I think that ABC showed, you know, they responded within 12 hours with a very decisive, surprising reaction, and they needed to move fast. It was clear that sponsors were going to be going away from the show, and they also had to make a statement about, you know, who they want to be. The problem is that in this day and age, it starts a set of dominoes, because now, you know, obviously people who are loyal to Roseanne are starting to say, well, hold on, like Jemele Hill didn't get fired, or this one didn't get fired, or other places, people who are on the ABC networks have said negative things about Ivanka and about the president. So the key question is to establish somehow some boundaries for what's a fireable offense, for lack of a better phrase, and what needs to be just a suspension, or what needs to be ignored, or anything like that. We're in uncharted territories.
How much money, just to get a sense of this, how much money would that show have made? What was that bringing in profit?
I think, you know, a lot of the numbers many analysts have used is about $60 million, which is, you know, not for nothing. I think that, you know, look, the other thing is the halo effect of having a show like that. You can't just think about that, the revenue that show brings in. You think about, if you have the number one show on television, all of a sudden you're running promos for your other shows. So you're getting more eyeballs from that.
Yes.
You also get a halo effect by, you know, that front full page ad in the New York Times or whatever, in front of the advertiser saying, we have the number one show on television. There's, you know, come with us. We still know how to put together the number one show. So there's a lot of ancillary benefits to a show like that.
So this happens very, very quickly. Within hours, this happens. Do you think, in the boardroom, there's a discussion that goes something like this: can we get rid of her and save the show? Can we bring someone else in that kind of role? Do you think that was discussed?
I think it's being discussed now. I don't think it was being discussed then. They had a roaring fire, and they had to throw some water on it. And there wasn't time, you know, to make those kind of considerations. I think that people are starting to talk about the show now with John Goodman, and Roseanne has died or whatever. I mean, look, the truth is she's a singular talent. They're going to be climbing Everest on a cold day in their shorts trying to do that, you know, show without her. She was obviously a big appeal for many viewers, but who knows, you know, what they can pull off. But I think in those 12 hours, it was just about making sure that they acted decisively and got the message out.
So let me go to something larger here, which is the nature of comedy and the character of comedians. You and Tom Shales wrote a best-selling book about the origins and the continuation of Saturday Night Live. You know these people. You've sat with these sorts of people. It seems to me that comedians ask always what is the boundary and then try to drive a truck through it as quickly as they can. So what era are we living in, Jim?
Yeah, well, you know, cats and dogs are living together. I mean, they're, you know, sleeping together. This is kind of crazy. And I think, look, you can go all the way back to Lenny Bruce and what the great Norman Lear did with All in the Family. It's not that we haven't had controversies, and it's not like there isn't a rich, you know, tradition in television for controversial statements and things. But I think what Twitter in particular has done is it's made people think, somehow it's held up an X-ray to us. So sometimes at the most unguarded moments, you know, we say things that we think other people who agree with us will love, and we don't think about the people who disagree with us, and we don't think about the fact that we work for a corporation and that corporation might have problems with it. It's a very Twitter is one of the most dangerous things in the world, because you're just sitting there with your phone or at your desktop, and you just think, you know, okay, this is, you know, this is kind of harmless. And I think that more and more people, I mean, certainly ESPN has gone through its own saga with this and social media and other networks as well, but I think more and more people are taking that extra second before they hit send to say, okay, wait a second, this sounds really cool, this sounds really funny, my friend on the phone just thought that would be a great tweet, but what's gonna happen when this actually gets unleashed? Because, you know, some of these things are not like a stain, they're a tattoo. And there are people who have literally tweeted things and have never recovered from them.
This is why I'm the smartest person in the world, because I'm not going on it. I'm not. It's crazy. I would lose my job in an instant.
I don't think you and Twitter would be a good match.
No, I'm too angry.
It's the biggest understatement ever.
And like, I will sit here and say things that are not on the air, and I know they're funny, but I can't, you know.
But what? you're too quick. You're too quick. So even on radio, like you just see it and you say it, and there's just, you know, it's actually an unfair device for somebody like you, because it's just going to, you know, more times than not, it'll probably be more of a bane than a boon.
So what happens as we look, and again, I want to stay with the notion of comedians and what they do for a living. Don Rickles had an unbelievable career. He had 50 years. He couldn't have one night now, right? I mean, there are people out there, they have no career. Mel Brooks can't make the movies he's made. Where are we now? Is it a course correction? Is it going to swing back? Where are we?
No, I think the line keeps moving. And, you know, the truth is, I mentioned All in the Family before, there are things that were done in All in the Family episodes that couldn't be done today.
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, part of it is, look, we're so divided as a country, right? I mean, we just have two fundamentally different ecosystems and cultures working side by side. And that's why Twitter is so electric, and that's why these things get to be so blown up, because it's not just a matter of those who are offended and companies that feel like they have to do the right thing. It's then those who feel like it's unfair and those who want to be supportive. So it's a, you know, every day it's a cultural civil war. I mean, specifically about your question about comedy, I think that's one of the things that, you know, we're really trying to, we're seeing sort out, because there are comedians now who have pulled back. And, you know, if you look at their acts 5 years ago and their stand-up routines 5 years ago, they were much more confrontational. They were much more aggressive. They went up to the line, as you say, and then they jumped over it.
Sure.
And so, and now it's very few people. Look, you can't be tied to a public corporation if you're going to do that. That's rule number one, because that's pretty clear. That, I mean, there are certain certainties now that we've discovered that if you're tied to a public corporation and you want to play that game, you are going to get voted off the island. They can't. There's just no stomach for it. And so as a result, I think that, you know, we're starting to see, I think, the emergence of more independent new outlets or people who don't want to be aligned with any of those institutions, because they really do want to be unbridled in their, you know, in their thoughts and comedy.
I've got a friend of mine who I like very much, who is, you know, doesn't share my political philosophy. And we talk all the time about the anthem issue, for example. And he says, I understand that it's anybody's right to protest. He said, but if somebody walked in, if somebody worked for Bank of America, for example, and they played the national anthem before a brunch at Bank of America, and this guy knelt on the ground, he would not be working for Bank of America by the time they served the eggs. That was not going to happen. We have, Jim, we have somebody in the White House now who tweets all the time and who appears to enjoy the confrontation that this creates. Is Donald Trump a big factor in these things?
Well, I think it was there before, but I think what he did was he took a big can of kerosene and threw it on the fire. And we can't, you know, look, anytime the president of the United States starts to go deep, as he does, in the national dialogue, particularly via Twitter, which is so easily disseminated, I think it has a huge impact. But I think the other problem is that some people are just saying, though, where is the fairness? How do you decide things? I mean, look, we forget that Tim Tebow knelt, and he was at the time protesting abortions. But, I mean, the guy, and whether or not you support that or not, he certainly hasn't suffered as a consequence. In fact, I think his popularity went up afterwards.
Yes.
So we're trying now, I think, you know, the real challenge for all of us is to try and figure out exceptionalism? How you know, why do certain people get basically strung up and sometimes fired and sometimes penalized and whatever, and other people are able to do certain things and get away with it? And that's one of the real kind of sociological, cultural questions that, you know, I think is worth examining.
Thanks so much for being on the show. Thank you.
Oh,
I appreciate it. I know you got other things to do. Jim does the Origins podcast that is absolutely brilliant.
And has sat
in on the show and will sit in again when he's in town. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Jim Miller, boys and girls. He and Shales, they had two number one best-selling books.
His oral histories are amazing.
Yeah. ESPN and Saturday Night Live.
He's done some really great
work. They're really great.
I love them.
All right, we will take a break. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Squarespace ad. You will know as I read when I sort of drift in and out about the language. Have you ever thought about starting a blog? Do you have products or services to sell? Maybe you have a business to promote or an upcoming event to announce, such as Chatter is going to be open and put the Caps game on Saturday night.
Yes.
Well, the dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it a reality with Squarespace. Squarespace is encouraging folks to make it, even Nigel. Easily create a stunning website using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. With Squarespace, the power is in your hands to really make your website your own. You can customize the look and the feel, the settings, the products, and more with just a few clicks. And here we begin to drift. Sell anything you want online thanks to Squarespace's powerful e-commerce functionality. Enjoy free and secure hosting, built-in search engine optimization, analytics that help you grow in real time. And with Squarespace, and I know this is important to you, you never have to worry about a glitchy-looking mobile interface. Never.
It's the worst.
Or any face. Because everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. Now let's go back to English. Keep dreaming, but make it a reality and make it stand out with a website from Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com/TonyK for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, whatever that means, use the offer code TonyK to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Teek Sato, S-A-T-O, or Sato, I don't know how to pronounce it. And he says, "Dear Dr. Hoff Waff, oh hi from the Great White North. I've been a Laura Little for several years now. I never imagined I would ever submit any music. Tonight, my friend Eve Hell?
It's hard to pronounce it any other way.
Posted on Facebook that the band she plays in, the 427s, were looking for radio stations that might play their music. I asked if I could submit something to the show. Chris and Eve both gave me the enthusiastic thumbs up, so I have attached their new single, Liberty Bell, off their upcoming album, Stay Gold. Formed in 2013, influenced by 60s surf music, spaghetti westerns, and film noir, Rob Day and Chris Van Keer created the 427s as a throwback to the days spent at the beach and nights spent on the strip. Eve Hell on bass, and Wayne Ramone, not a typo, Wayne Ramone, on drums, round out the rest of the band. The new album will be available for streaming and download within the next week on all major services. I hope you find the music to be wonderfully suitable in introducing Anne Wilbon or any of the other great guests on the pod." Well, we're introducing news with it.
Yes.
But we're very grateful. And Michael, if anybody named Eve Hell wants to submit music, and this music is, I like this kind of music. Yeah. This is Dick Dale and the Surf Tones for me. So if anybody wants to submit it, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
This comes from Calgary, Alberta. And
so typically what you think of for surfing.
Right. And our reach is such that we're selling Johnny O, are we not?
We're
selling it all the way to Calgary, Alberta.
That West Coast prep. And because we have Father's Day approaching, your grandson is giving you the gift of 25% off your purchase with the promo code BOOTSIE1. That's BOOTSIE. Struggling with his name because that's his, you know, fake name for the show.
Right.
With the number one.
It's not... Your grandson giving it to you. My grandson is giving it to all of you.
Yes.
Showing what a selfless child he is, even at age 11 months. A totally selfless child. Nigel, you have news.
I do. Before I get to the news, I got an email from Chris from the band, the 427s. Says, in fact, that album, Stay Gold, will be available tomorrow.
Good.
At all music sites. And also, I forgot to plug this yesterday from Mark Rogers, who was one of the artists that sent us a song called Qualifiers.
Yeah.
He actually has a gig on Sunday, July 15th. At the Wharf on the Union Stage in, right here in D.C.
Okay.
So you make sure
Stay Gold,
that out.
I assume, a reference to The Outsiders? Stay Gold, Pony Boy?
Oh, could be.
Don't know.
Could be.
Don't know. I'll Calgary, Alberta, sending music.
Yes.
Home of the West Coast surf sound. Calgary, Alberta. How far to the closest ocean in Calgary?
A little bit of a drive.
Yeah.
Mr. Tony, the Nationals keep on winning. And I think this fella, Max Scherzer, I think he's doing all right.
So
there's
good.
Eight shutout innings,
two hits, one walk, 12 Ks. He's now 9-1 with a 1.92 ERA. And Verlander actually has better statistics, which is amazing. They pitched on the same staff in Detroit.
I mean,
those two were together in Detroit, Verlander
Harden,
and
Durant,
Scherzer.
Westbrook.
I have said this before about Scherzer. Nobody's worth the money. He's worth the money.
No matter what they pay him,
he's worth the money. Yep. I was very surprised. He came out for the eighth. I thought in the seventh inning when Machado got a solid hit and he was up around 100 pitches, I thought that would be enough. But he came out for the eighth and went 1-2-3 in the eighth.
Yeah, but if you take a look at where he was in the order, you have the bottom of the order, a team that's struggling.
Yep.
And for the Nats, you have four games against your biggest foe right now in Atlanta. So you would love to protect one or two arms that it would take to get through even that section of the order.
So I guess I wondered about, you're going to Atlanta, and there are one-point games and there are two-point games. That's a two-point game. It's a divisional game. Do you hold Scherzer out, or do you just know Scherzer goes when Scherzer goes?
Burn the hand.
That's the way it has to be.
Burn the hand, and you also take a look at who Atlanta was pitching last night. So they had Tehran pitching. So
who's good?
Yeah. So you're
okay.
You're okay burning both of those guys.
Yeah. So
it's not like the alternatives to Scherzer.
Bryce Harper, by the way, another bomb last night.
The issue isn't who's starting when Scherzer's not starting. I mean, Gio's a 2.10.
Yeah.
Hellickson's a 2.3. I mean, that's three guys.
And we're starting Strasburg.
No, they're not Scherzer, but that doesn't even include Strasburg. The point is, you know,
their rotation is very good right now.
If you have reviewed, I don't want to get too geeky here, but if you have reviewed what we've seen so far in the season, which is 50 or 60 games, other than the last start that Scherzer made, where they staked him to 2-0 and then 4-2, and he gave up runs, he's usually pitching in a 1-0, a 1-1, or last night a 1-0 for most of it,
right,
and then a 2-0. For reasons that are unknown to me, when this team ought to be supporting him beyond anybody else, they are not. And he has to earn every single win that he gets.
I wonder,
he is a total stud.
I wonder if there's something to the psychology of players offensively, not consciously, but offensively,
saying
sort
he's
of taking
bail
the night
out.
Off.
He's
just sort of saying, like, well, what's good? We got Max,
yes.
So we can, you know, we can maybe chill tonight. Good. I mean, it sort of would work against him.
Has he made the statement now in terms of pitchers of his generation?
He's going the whole thing.
He's
got three Cy Youngs.
Sure. But where does he stand? I know we've all talked about Kershaw.
Oh, he's not Kershaw. At best. No. Kershaw, at best, is the best pitcher out there. But Max Scherzer is in the top
two or three, maybe?
I would say in the top two or three, and this year in the top two, but certainly in the top five. When you consider the great pitchers of a 10-year span, Max Scherzer is on the
list. Oh, he has to be. I mean, it looks like he's a favorite to win the Cy Young this year.
Yeah.
He's got how many 20 strikeout games?
He just, it's not 20 strikeout games. He goes 10 strikeouts all the time.
He has 120 strikeouts, I believe. He had 108 going into last night.
You also have opposing pitchers who are getting their best stuff because they know they're going against Scherzer, which makes it harder for a offense that is not what we want it to be to get those runs early.
By the way, I hope, and it's 5-6 weeks away still, I hope Bryce Harper competes in the home run derby.
He will.
He said he's going to.
That's good.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
Adam Eaton says he will be back June 8th.
He'll be back, and it'll be out June 9th.
Well,
then it's something with one of his legs will
unhinged.
Yes.
Cartilage flap.
Yes.
Now, he says, I feel better than I did when I first came back. I feel way more confident than I did when I first came back, just because everything's fixed and in the right position.
I'm taking the under.
It's doing everything it needs to do. My body is in a really good place.
This sounds like he's only saying this because he's looking at what's happening in left field right now with a guy named Juan. Juan Soto.
Yeah, exactly.
Soto looks pretty good.
NBA Finals start tonight. It's going to be a different one. The Cavaliers and the Warriors
are
going to take each other on.
It's different from the one in 1976.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff Van Gundy, much, I'm sure, to the chagrin of the people at ABC and ESPN, has said that there's no chance that Cleveland wins any games at all, that this is 4-0 for Golden State. Let's go around the room, Gary.
I would borrow from Aldridge, who was in here yesterday. I mean, I think Golden State looks disinterested enough of the time that you could definitely steal one, and I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron just said, come on, boys, you're coming with me, and took another one. So I would set that over-under at 1.5, I think, if I had to.
You do not have fear, though, that Cleveland would win the series.
I'm a LeBron fan. I would love to see that. I can't see. I didn't doubt the Boston series, but I can't see that here.
Chris?
I would take the under on Gary's line. I think they win one. I think they probably win either game one in a weird Golden State.
What if I set the total at one? Would you go under or over?
You push. You don't take the bet.
Yes, you have to. Gun to your head. Yeah. I'm holding your children hostage.
Really? Right now? I think they either win game one or game three. So the first one, you know, they kind of sneak on Golden State. Golden State, as we have talked about, is they're indifferent.
They're so much better.
Indifferent for large swaths of games.
Basically says this. Watch us in the third quarter and marvel at how good we are.
You just have to have a subpar Durant game coincide with a decent LeBron game, and all of the games presumably are going to be decent for LeBron.
Fun to watch them guard each other if that happens, Michael.
For Gary's line, I'm going over. I mean, I've watched the playoffs for these last 3 weeks, and I agree. You look at a team that has shown an inability to focus throughout a series in Golden State. And you are going to have LeBron where he's going to say, even if we lose the series, I'm going to give the greatest performance that you've ever seen in the finals. And that's going to be the capstone to this season and to my time in Cleveland.
Yeah. Nigel?
I think whichever team sends us a flag to support them, I think that's the team I say will win this series.
It's hard to argue.
Yes.
There's other news in the NBA. Steve Clifford, who I think everybody remembers from the great success at Charlotte before he got fired, got the Orlando job.
Orlando?
That's right. Yes, that's such a good show. It's such a good show. Book of Mormon. This is a 2-year job for Steve Clifford. He will be fired at the end of 2 years because Orlando
is that in the contract?
Orlando has no hope. This is the David Fizdale Knicks job. It's a 2-year job because the team has no hope. And, you know, you sign a 4-year contract, and on the back end, you get 2 years for free. Right. And that's how that works.
Yeah, aren't there a lot of rumors that LeBron will be headed to Orlando after the season?
There are no rumors.
Not to put everyone on the spot because no one's going to know this. Where do they draft?
They draft in a 5 or 6 or something like that.
Somewhere in the top 30.
I mean, that's where they would belong based on standings.
What else do we have?
I know you wanted to talk about the follow-up to the Brian Colangelo.
Well, where are we today on this?
It just says that the 76ers have opened up an independent investigation. I don't think it's advanced.
There are
a
lot of people who are inclined to believe Brian Colangelo that he did not do this.
Yes, he is insisting this wasn't him.
And that maybe someone close to him did this. But here
someone who really loves him a lot.
My position would be this. Brian Colangelo has to be fired if he knew this was happening and was part of the leaking of the information. If the information comes from Brian Colangelo, he has to be fired, in my opinion.
Well, if he was divulging this information to someone who, unbeknownst to him, was taking that information and doing this stuff, is he being complicit?
No, because he says he concedes that he opened up one fake account, and he concedes that he monitors the social media part of this.
I think he needs to monitor what is happening on social media because so many of the players
they do.
But the time to have
to go on and do it. So two things. One,
somebody would have brought
how
these
do you do
things
it,
to his attention.
Orlando picks 6th and is currently slated to take Michael Porter, who played
one minute. From Missouri.
There is a story in Deadspin this morning that says, it's quoting a Twitter handle, did the Sixers win, that is linking Colangelo's wife has a cell phone number ending in 91 That is the same
number.
We're
getting deep in the weeds on this, right? That is
the same number linked to three of the burner accounts.
So we now think it's Colangelo's wife?
There is at least some speculation that it is her. She is doing it. At least some speculation. Just adding that to the pot.
That's going
to
be a fun dinner.
That's fireable, too. Or divorceable. Yes. I mean, that's...
I mean, the question is, what
something's going to end.
The question is, what did he know, right? I mean, let's say it is someone in his family. If he's just talking over dinner about it, and they are tweeting it unbeknownst to him...
Aren't you interested in the... Well, but he would...
I mean, it's crazy to think that that's what it is.
Aren't you interested in who is the source on this?
Yeah,
wouldn't
bit.
It be fabulous if Sam Hinkie were the source?
Yeah, because,
sure.
because someone in February went to the Ringer, according to them, went to the Ringer and
big
said,
story
that
for
this,
Bill Simmons.
Said this was happening.
Yes. Simmons, I talked to Simmons yesterday. He says it's the biggest story we've ever had, so good for him.
I went to follow the guy who wrote it, Ben Dietrich. He had blocked me on Twitter.
Really?
I was like, I can't follow
what
you because he blocked
else?
Me.
We've got a couple different stories. Do you want to talk about Sears closing down 72 stores?
Sam,
or do you want
to, this is these are this
it's,
is the
it's
new
Kodak.
America.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, I thought this would be around forever.
This is the new America.
What's going to happen to your service contract for your washer and dryer?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Now I got to get a new one somewhere else, I guess.
They lost $424 million in the last period.
Is that bad?
I think that's not particularly great. And in a scene...
We've done better than that at Chatter.
Yes.
There
yes,
you go.
Much yeah. so. And a scene
Chatter
reminiscent of the Yalta conference... with Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt.
What is this?
Kim Kardashian West had a sit-down with President Donald Trump to sort of lobby...
Prison reform?
Yeah, there's a woman that she knows who's serving life sentences for drug offenses. It's a woman by the name of Alice Marie Johnson, who's 63, been in jail for more than two decades and not eligible for parole. So Kim Kardashian wanted to plead her case and talk about larger things. And I'm sure Trump... This is just me saying this. I'm sure as soon as she came in, he said, isn't this great? Look at this. Can you believe this?
So I was thinking about this today because some people are outraged that Kim Kardashian was in the Oval Office. And what I was thinking was, a lot of bozos get in the Oval Office. Wilbon and I were in the Oval Office. Now, we didn't come there to lobby for prison reform. We came to lobby for golf.
Golf.
And it worked out. I mean, it worked out for us. And we thought that that was really wonderful. Kim Kardashian, though, not that she shouldn't be allowed
pick.
In there, but it's so easy.
The optics.
It's just so easy. Yeah. If you're John Oliver, you're saying, thank God I get the week off because I can do this in 20 minutes.
Yes.
It's too
easy. The photo
right?
looks like a weird sitcom promo, doesn't
strangely
it?
Posed. Yeah. It reminded many people of the Nixon Elvis picture.
Oh, right. That was a great picture.
I mean,
Elvis
just
was high.
A little, just a strange... Straight. I mean, I'm not sure there's any picture with Donald Trump and Kim Kardashian. I'm like, oh, that looks supernatural.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
And did you see the tabloids? The tabloid covers Trump meets Rump, and the other big ass summit.
Was that?
Yeah, like the Post and the Daily News had.
All right, let's get on.
Kim Thong Un.
That's funny. Kim Thong Un is funny. Yeah. All right, we get out of here. When we come back, we have Old Guy Radio.
That's
yes?
right.
We'll just chat amongst ourselves. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio. This is Buddy Holly, one of the people who is the subject of Miss American Pie, obviously. Why are we playing this?
Because on this date in 1956, Buddy Holly went to see a movie
62 years ago.
A movie called The Searchers with John Wayne. And throughout that movie, John Wayne has the line, "That'll be the day."
Oh, and it inspired him in five minutes.
5 minutes later, he wrote one of the greatest rock and roll songs ever. Recorded it later that summer for Decca Records. They were not happy with his previous session, so they didn't release it. And then when he started becoming more popular, he went and re-recorded it, and this is the version you get today.
In the area of critical commentary, I know that Gary Busey is crazy. I understand this.
But
that's a great movie.
Yes.
The Buddy Holly story is a
fantastic
movie. And Gary Busey was nominated for an Academy Award, and justifiably.
Yeah.
But he appears to be...
Yeah, a little bit off kilter. Yes.
By the way, imagine my glee this morning when I turned on the news, the Channel 4 news, and I saw Chuck Bell, who was assuring us, by the way, that there would be no rain.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing, yeah. Chuck Bell was showing pictures of his new puppy. The puppy gnawing on one of Chuck Bell's ears.
Cute.
And then telling us that, you know, for the years to come, there'll be many, many more pictures of this. I've got a dog. I really like my dog. I don't stop people on the street and show pictures of my dog.
Hey, you want to see something?
I don't do that.
I own this place.
I don't promise more pictures of my dog. And I like my dog. You know, so I mean, you know, really.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
Isn't that, isn't the internet all about puppies and kittens?
I think Chessie
what it is?
Yes. Chessie does have a an unverified Twitter account, I believe. Right,
just, you know, years
not sanctioned
and years
by us.
Strongly anti people making Twitter and Instagram handles for their pets.
That's
strongly anti.
So my friend David yelled at me yesterday because I'm a Luddite when it comes to the internet, and he said you're depriving yourself of some really well written things, some really interesting things. You don't have to go on it and post your own stuff, but you should. A lot of great work is being done there, and it is true that I don't. You know, I don't sit there and scroll through it all the time. I'm not. No one is going to accuse me of the Brian Colangelo circumstance.
No.
That's not going to happen. No. I don't do that. So anyway, maybe I'm missing something.
But you don't read anymore at all.
I don't read. I don't type.
Do you skim?
These fingers don't type.
Just no.
He reads the
television.
Newspaper.
I read the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty
much
that
counts.
What I do is I read the newspaper.
But there's wonderful long form pieces in. You know, a lot of magazines.
Well, he's read, but he's read everything.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back.
Fingers don't type anymore.
I wanted to go back to something that happened. I didn't talk about this with the Caps game. Okay. When I think it's great that they opened up the arena.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think it's great that they didn't charge people. If they charge people to get in, I'd be very, very upset. If they charge for concessions, that's fair.
Of course.
That's fair. You're watching the game.
Sure.
I'm fine with all of that. And I think that's a really good thing. It is horrifying to me what happens with the subway system in this city. This is the capital of the United States of America. Okay, this isn't some tin pot joint that nobody's ever been to before. This is an important city in this country. And the fact that you have to have the metro ransomed either by the government of Qatar to begin with or by Xfinity, which happened yesterday, to get it to run an extra hour. And then you see this guy, Weidfeld, is that his name?
Yeah.
Weidfeld.
And he says happy he is to be able to serve the people of the cab. Are you kidding me? There should be money for that. You should not put people in harm's way by shutting down that system. I mean, thank God there were no fires on it last night in the extra hour. But that should not happen. There should be... Am I wrong on this?
No, you're
there
totally right.
There should be funds
between
Virginia and Maryland and the district. There should be funds to keep that thing open if there's a game in the Stanley Cup Finals or a big baseball game.
Correct.
No,
and let me say, if they don't have the funds, they need to change whatever these rules are that exist that do not allow team ownership to fund it. Like, I think
it's ridiculous.
Even if Ted Leonsis wanted to pay the $100,000 or whatever it is to keep it open, I don't think they're allowed to do that.
Well, why are they allowed to take it from
a foreign government? I will have to research that. But I mean, I do not believe.
Talk about Russia influencing the election. What is this? Why are we taking money from them?
Our metro system.
Am I crazy?
For all the annoying and totally sanctimonious pieces that the New York Times says, like, D.C. is now a pretty not bad city. The one thing that they get exactly right is our subway system is a giant embarrassment for a city that is a serious, big
city. It's the capital of the country.
It closes it's like banker's hours. And it's just...
You can't have this. You can't have this. You can't.
That's why I don't ride it.
The new crest of the District of Columbia will be some mendicant with his or her hands out asking for spare change to keep the subway open.
Let's make friends. Name a city that you'd expect that sort of subway from. Go ahead. Name a few.
Some third-rate city. I'm not because I'm going to end up sounding like the president.
Jacksonville, maybe.
This isn't Paris. This is a good city.
Come on. Anyway.
No, it's terrible.
Does anybody
and there's all
talk
this hand wringing every time. What are we going to do? I mean, I'm at Caps games that go to overtime, and the thing comes up. Hey, subway closes in 30 minutes.
It's embarrassing.
Do you want to hear my dry cleaner story?
That's the only reason
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. So some months back, my dry cleaner closed. It got absorbed by the aggressive octopus Zips. Of politics and prose. Oh.
I saw the 60 Minutes piece on that.
Yeah.
The people who own
politics and prose.
Great plug for politics and prose. David Sedaris will be speaking there this Monday.
Great. And they ate my dry cleaner.
There'll be a lot of bicyclists there.
So I'm really upset about that. So what I did was, and I'd gone to this dry cleaner for, you know, Regal Cleaners. I'd gone for 35 years, something like that. Once you get a dry cleaner.
Yeah, you're there.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, that's
right.
Your guy.
It's your dry cleaner.
Yeah.
So there's a dry cleaner across the street. So I started going to the dry cleaner across the street. And I said, like, I've got this one issue. I'm on this television show. And as a result, the makeup sometimes bleeds down into the collar or the shirt. So could you take some extra care with the collars? Could you try your best to get the makeup out if the makeup is there? Because you know that it'll ruin a shirt.
Yeah.
It's visible.
Otherwise, they just bake it in.
It'll ruin. Yes, Chris has his hand up.
Yes. Do they? I guess you're a big enough deal that they don't. But what? Do they ever make an issue that you're a man with makeup on your shirt? Because I get that a lot my dry cleaner. Like the woman
I'm
keeps
out front
judging
about
me.
It. I'm out front about it, and I say there's makeup here, and this is why it happens.
You do okay. Have
yeah, that's the move.
But you say like there's no, makeup. Say, I'm on television, so there's makeup.
This is kind television
of a
makeup.
Time move.
Well, what was I supposed to say? I'm a drag queen, so there's makeup.
I don't say what? Anything, but she looks at me strange because I'm like there's a lot of makeup on the collar.
Right.
Well, your nickname is Lace. So.
Yeah, I just feel like saying like I'm a big deal television person.
Well, also,
you know me.
No, I don't do that.
I'm guessing his dry cleaner doesn't know him. So, but I just say the same thing. Can you like? Do you guys have something for stripper glitter? Like, how do you get all this out?
I just have to remove. Yeah.
So I have, you know, I buy shirts and I regularly replace shirts with shirts, and I go to David Donahue and I really like their shirts, and I just got like on the new dry cleaner every week. You know, more of them come back with more makeup, and these some of them are brand new shirts. So the last time when I picked up my clothes last week, I went back to my house. I opened the packages. There were four shirts that were really significantly marred. I felt by makeup, and I've gone through this before with the woman at the dry cleaning stand. It was a very nice woman. I brought them back, and I said, "Look at this," and she goes, "We try." Now I'm not going to do accents here. She says, right. "We try." And I said, yeah, but it's right on the collar. These are brand new shirts. I've worn them once. She says, we try. And then she begins to cry.
Oh.
And she says, you make me so upset. You hurt my feelings. I go, well, please don't.
No.
Please don't cry.
I'm so
and then
sorry.
She walks to the back of the store. She won't deal with me.
To compose
She's
yourself.
The only one there. And I said, look, I'm just trying to point this out. I bring the clothes. I said, you know what? Just give me all my clothes back. Give me all my clothes back. Don't worry about it. I'll go to another dry cleaner.
Oh, well, I'm sure that cheered
that's,
her
that's
up.
That's probably what she wanted.
Then she cried more.
That's probably what she wanted.
You know what? I'll take my business elsewhere.
I left.
Does that make it feel better?
I don't know what to do. And I said, can I speak to the manager? I didn't yell
representative. God, you're just making this worse at every step.
I said, can I speak to the manager, please? She says, I am the manager.
She's probably the
manager owner.
I said, could you give me the phone number, the owner? Could I speak to the owner, please, and just explain the situation? And look, I'm not... My voice is so, I'm so kind in this.
I can tell in your face just in the retelling of the story.
Terrible.
You're not in
agony.
Attack mode.
It's agony for me. I've really, she keeps saying, I'm upset. I'm hurt. I don't want this to happen. And then she says, the owner doesn't speak any English. I can only speak to the owner. And I just said, okay, all right, I'm so sorry. Do what you can. I don't know what to,
Wow.
I can't go back there.
No, you cannot.
I can't go back there.
You have to leave those shirts.
No, I have to go pick up
those
my
shirts.
Clothes.
No,
you send somebody
for that. I just spent $120 a shirt.
You know what? But that's a write-off.
You
don't
send,
do it.
You send somebody in there. For you to
Agree.
Pick those shirts up. You
Agree.
Don't, you can't walk back in there. The only move you
I
could
feel
do.
I terrible.
Yeah, you could purchase the establishment.
And give her 20 minutes to get out.
Turn it into a failing restaurant.
No, I mean, can't. Did they get the makeup off your car? What do you have to do?
Well, how much time delay was there from your wearing of the shirt to your bringing it into the dry cleaner?
Well, I tend to go 15 shirts at a clip.
So it's two to three weeks. That's a lot of time for the makeup
too much
to set
time.
In.
You got to have three shirts like I have. You rotate them in and out much quicker.
You should ask the makeup people at PTI if there's something you can do to treat it after the show and before you bring it into the dry cleaner.
Question.
How did I get to be the one at fault here?
There is some makeup application in my industry. Can I ask a couple of questions? I assume they are scarfing you, right?
When they're putting yes, for sure. I have a bib on.
But so can we stop making up the neck? Can you maybe tell them? Can you just do chin line up?
They don't make up my neck.
Well,
no. This is the spray. This is the spray stuff for HDTV.
For HD, they have to.
And then you're under hot lights. Yep. I'm not Levitard. I'm not a puddle of water. Right. I rarely sweat.
But you're just, it's not but that. It's you're moving your head from side to side and it gets in your
face. Yes. I think you could turn this into firing a makeup person or two.
I love Renee and Jackie.
I don't understand why the woman was upset when you said to her, you failed at your job.
Yeah,
I don't
see why that would.
You're awful. Can I speak to someone who outranks you?
She started to cry and went to the bathroom.
Even when you don't mean to, you come across as very confrontational.
I did.
You walk into a store like Max Scherzer stalking a man. There's clearly a purpose.
I don't understand why you thought that.
I took them to my house. I brought four back. I said, look at this. Can we try it again?
But your appeasement strategy was, give me all my stuff. I'll go somewhere else.
But just because I didn't want her to be upset.
What? How would that not make her upset?
Put yourself in her shoes.
Some other dry cleaner. This place is garbage.
I didn't say that.
What if
I said, I apologize to you for making you upset.
What if you were walking around with your I own the place, I'm not a pervert pin. Ask someone how their meal was, and they said, well, actually, it wasn't really that good. And you said, well, I'm sorry, let me see if I can. And they said, you know what, just forget it. We'll just never come back. Will that make you feel better?
Put
it that way.
You could give us something from the prize closet. Maybe that would turn it around.
Dates. Nobody seems to want these dates.
I love dates.
These are dates
Saudi Arabian or something?
Gulf country.
We've got an atomic lighter still here. It cheers everybody up.
Gary got me to thinking.
I haven't told this story on the air because I don't even think I told you.
No.
I was so upset by this.
That's sad.
Ruined her day maybe her life.
And you lost a dry cleaner.
Probably their biggest client.
You're moving
a lot of material.
One idea, to Gary's point, when you are walking around with your I own this place, I'm not a pervert pin, if somebody does criticize the food, just begin sobbing.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know what I mean?
And walk to the back.
Yeah, just begin sobbing and say, you make me sad. I can't
tell
them
I tried.
I mean, honestly, it's hard to confront.
We'll be back with email and a
jingle.
Take
my shirts elsewhere.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I would like to golf in Augusta. You won't find me riding the metro. Play the Beach Boys louder, Alexa. Ooh, a text from my friend Obama.
He's a rich guy. He talks all about it. Lots of extra pairs of boat shoes. As for poor guys, trip is all that matters. Send it all to Chatter. He might mention you. He says blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah. Blah, blah.
He got
lots of extra pairs of boat shoes.
Blah,
blah, blah.
Blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah.
He got
lots of extra pairs of boat shoes. 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 Lots of extra pairs of boat shoes.
That's brilliant. That's
that
brilliant.
Great.
And that's brilliant.
So
that's
great,
diamonds
Brad.
On the soles of her shoes. And by the way, I have two extra pairs, and I'm gonna cash out on the ones that I'm wearing now because it's been so wet here for about a month.
Yeah,
they never dry.
So you'll have to go out and get a couple more extra pairs.
Yeah.
You always kind of have three.
Let me thank
four.
Jim Miller for coming on today, and do not forget to check out his podcast Origins, which is just great. I'd also like to thank today's sponsors, Omaha Steaks and Squarespace. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Come see us on Saturday night for the Caps game.
Yes.
From Peter Buchanan. Have you ever noticed that when one of the ex-sports reporters gets too far off the reservation, Jeannie always gets them back in line? Once a boss, always a boss. Although with Tony, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. I think I can be stopped. Jeannie has that ability. Robert Liu, Napoleon, Ohio. While it's true that the New England Confectionery Company is going out of business, that's Necco wafers.
Right.
The Necco wafer will live on. Last week at a bankruptcy auction, the Spangler Candy Company, makers of Dum Dums, I'm not familiar with those, and Circus Peanuts.
Yeah, Dum Dums are lollipops. My kids can eat them because
they're peanut-free. Won the assets of the New England Confectionery Company with a bid of $18.83 million. For the moment, the Necco factory in Revere will stay open, but production down the line will probably shift to the Spangler facility in Bryan, Ohio. That's nice. From Danny Randolph in Boca Raton. I have relatives in Boca Raton. And it says, Mr. Bald Orange Man turned 40 today. I am now a man. That snuck up on me. From John Agliata in Wentzville, Missouri. It was illuminating to hear the literary critique from the great Dr. Tony on the work of Chaucer. But you know whose work gets far too much credit? Dr. Seuss. I mean, how hard is it to write a book when you can make up a word if you're struggling for a rhyme? Give me Chaucer over that Seuss guy any day. And John is asking if he can be the new official children's literature critic of the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I don't know. I'm entering that phase. I'm quite partial to There's a Bear in My Chair and Pout Pout Fish.
That's what's wrong with that stuff? That's brilliant.
It is.
What was his name? Theodore
Geisel.
Geisel. Yeah. Okay. Larry in Springfield. Right, so are you saying Chaucer is the literary equivalent of Brady Anderson's 1996 season? No. I mean, Chaucer's not a one-shot. No. And Chaucer's not on roids.
No, but Chaucer's
Brady Anderson was widely
alleged
to be on.
Chaucer and Tracy McGrady are a fairer comparison, right?
I'm just saying that Shakespeare is Shakespeare, okay? Is would the phrase
Chaucer's
be seen
poor man's, non? Poor yeah. man's Shakespeare.
All right. Adam Benson in St. John's in Newfoundland. The Imagine Dragons played before Game 2 of the Cup Finals. Yes, and now that series is headed back to Washington. Can you put in a word to get the Classics to play before Game 3? Think Feynman would get that
That'd
band
be awesome.
Out of mothballs?
Oh, I think we make that.
We need Wale.
Bill
That'd be good.
Feeney or F-I-E-N-E, Feeney maybe? Massapequa High School, class of 1967. All right. Perhaps Mr. Tony or the wine tyrant can answer this question. Does a $45 bottle of red wine purchased on a cruise ship taste better than the same wine purchased at the Disney of Alcohol Total Wine for $15 2 weeks later? $15?
Mm.
Total
Wine. Have you seen these Total Wine stores?
He's an interesting guy. David Trone. He's an interesting guy.
He spent 10 plus million of his own
to get elected.
To lose.
That's right.
And he is
he's
running
doing it again.
Yep.
He's running
you
again.
You will hear his ads if you live in the D.C. metro area.
Benjamin Bruner of Cambridge, Maryland. Bruner. So you say that Chaucer's a tough read, but is it a tougher read than the Squarespace read? Well, the Squarespace read, I can pronounce the words.
Right.
I can pronounce it.
It's difficult.
It's not
like
Juan Abril and its shores a suit. It's, come on, stop it. Kevin in Northeast. You know what's nice? Waking up in the morning to check both the Nats and the Caps scores while changing the calendar to June. Apropos of nothing yet still relevant, Edith Saliza.
Oh, yeah.
From Josh Barber in Fort Lee, New Jersey. In another episode of Little's Helping Littles, I'd like to throw a shout out to fellow Little Alana Stone. Recently, I became the legal guardian of my 17-year-old brother. Alana took time from working on her PhD in organic chemistry to tutor my brother on the SATs. He's now going to UMass in the fall thanks to her guidance. Pictured here is Alana holding the thank you gifts I received from the Mr. Tony store, a hat and coffee mug. While these are great gifts, the best gift of all would be a thank you from me through the lips of Mr. Tony. If that story doesn't win you over, Alana shares baby boy Bootsy's birthday and is related to the owner of Haspel Suits, with which you are familiar. Thanks for all you do. I got to wear the Haspel suit 2 days ago.
How about that?
I was thrilled to wear the Haspel suit 2 days ago. From Baton Rouge.
Don't take it to your dry cleaner.
I gotta get a new dry cleaner. If you're out of your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Where's the cake?
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Make a day seem tight.
Flimsy.